Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus, amen. The kingdom of heaven is not fair. It's just, it's righteous, but it isn't fair. And that's good because grace isn't fair. Fair is the law, grace the gospel. If it's fair, then it's not good news. If it's law, then it's all up to you and your efforts. If it's fair, then the first come in first and the last come in last. Survival goes to the fittest, the race to the swiftest, the kingdom to those who work the hardest for it. But if it's grace, if it's gift, then the first are last, the last are first, and the deadbeat sinner gets justified in the same way as the righteous and holy saint. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's get started with the parable. A man had a vineyard, and he needed some laborers. And so he went to the union hall at 6 a.m., and he negotiated with the union boss for some laborers at union wages, a denarius a day, and off they went to work in the vineyard. At 9 a.m., he noticed he was a bit short-handed, and so he went to the Home Depot, and he found some idlers standing around doing nothing. And so he said, "Come work for me, and I will pay you whatever is just." Notice he didn't say a denarius a day, just whatever is just. Not fair, just. Same word as justified, same word as righteous. Keep that in your memory banks. And then he did the same thing again at noon and at 3 p.m. He found some idlers hanging around, and he hired them for some unspecified just wage. And they agreed to it. And at 5 o'clock, he saw that the sun was setting. There were still grapes to be picked and things to be done, and he needed more help. And so he goes off to kind of the local bar where some deadbeat losers are hanging out all day, doing nothing because no one hired them. Can you blame them? And he says to them, "You go into my vineyard too," not even promising to pay them a dime. Nothing. Just go work in my vineyard. And they figure, what the heck? It's only an hour, we're running low on beer money, so why not? How hard can this be anyway? And so off they go into the vineyard. Okay, 6 p.m. hits and it's Miller time. And the workers head for the foreman to get their money for their day's work. And this is where the fun begins. This is where the parable gets good. The vineyard owner has them all lined up from last to first in reverse order. From the 11th hour losers to the first hour union worker winners who agreed at the outset to work for a denarius a day. When the 11th hour workers open their pay envelope, what do you suppose they should find? That's right, a shiny denarius. Wow, 1 hour's work, a full day's wage. Such a deal. But the truth is there was no deal. There wasn't even a promise of being paid. He could have paid them nothing and said, "Hey, I didn't say I was going to pay you. I just said, go work in my vineyard." Or he could have paid them a fair 12th of a denarius. That would have been fair. But they get a whole denarius, a whole day's wages for less than an hour's work. And then the word starts to trickle back up the line. He's paying a denarius an hour. And the 12-hour union boys are rubbing their hands together. They're giddy. At this rate, they're going to get 12 denarii, which is 12 days' wages for one day work. Wow. But the vineyard owner had made a deal with them. He negotiated their wages with the union boss. One day's work, one denarius. That's what they settled on. And now the reality settles in. Everybody is getting a denarius. And so who's the happiest? Who's the least happy? Of course, the happiest are the 11th hour hires No promises of pay were made at all to them for their measly hour of work, and yet they receive a whole day's wages, a bright, shiny denarius, for next to nothing. The third, sixth, ninth hour workers don't have all that much to complain about either. All the owner promised them was that he was going to pay them what was just. And in his justice, that meant a day's wages. They were probably pretty happy too, so long as they didn't think too hard about those 11th hour deadbeats. But the first hires, the union guys, the ones who had worked the full 12 hours, the ones who had agreed ahead of time to work for one denarius for a day's labor, they would be the ones to grumble the loudest. These last worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, they complain, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. They didn't even have to work at high noon. Not fair. And yet they have the least to complain about. Of all the workers in the vineyard, only they knew what the pay was. Union scale, a denarius a day. And then the vineyard owner pops the gospel cork and he pours a strong one for everybody. He comes up to one of the union guys, friend. And that's not a friendly kind of friend here. That's more like, hey, buddy, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me ahead of time for a denarius a day? It's in the contract right here. Go check over at the union hall. Now take what belongs to you and get out of here. It's my money, and I do with it as I please. If I choose to give these losers over here a full day's wage, what is that to you? Or do you begrudge my generosity? And I like the way the original Greek puts it much more than this translation of ours, that last question. It's not, do you begrudge my generosity? It's, is your eye evil because I am good? In other words, do you cast an evil eye on me because I happen to be good? That's getting to the heart of the matter. One of the toughest pills for religion to swallow is the idea that God justifies the ungodly, that God gives out salvation at the world's Miller time, not based on our works, our achievements, our accomplishments, but based solely on his grace in Jesus Christ, that he doles out a denarius of salvation to everyone alike, whether they be a lifetime Lutheran or a deathbed convert. Religion turns an evil eye to God's goodness. God may be good, but he can't be that good, it says. The union bosses protest, and it isn't fair. It's simply unfair. The last being first, the first being last. You know, it's bad enough these days that they're taking all the competition out of Little League and kids' sports so that there are no winners and losers anymore and they don't keep score. Imagine a league where the last place team gets the same big shiny trophy as the undefeated first place team. Yikes, is this any way to run a Little League? A day's wages for a day's work, that's fair. That's how the world works. That's what we expect in this world, and that's right, because the world runs by the rule of law. In fact, everything that we do is run by the rule of law. There's no way around that. But, as Isaiah reminds us, God's thoughts aren't our thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. He deals with us not according to what is fair, but according to his grace. The wages of sin. You want wages? Here they are. The wages of sin is death. Sin pays out. Union scale. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, says Romans 8. Wages are what you earn. Gifts are given and received freely, unearned, without any merit or worthiness on our part. If you want God to be fair, if you want God to deal with you according to your works, your achievements, your merits, your accomplishments, and all the things that you do, then you will be dealt with according to the law, and you will be damned. The wages of sin is death. That's fair. Those are the terms of the law. Equality. We're obsessed with it. That's the name of our game, isn't it? I think we learned it from the French Revolution. It's almost a mantra with us. Equal pay for equal work, equality of the sexes, equal protection under the law. Everybody is equal. Treat everybody the same. That's how the law works. In fact, when people want to enforce their equality, they turn to the law, the legislatures, the courts. We want our fair share, they say. And that has nothing whatsoever to do with grace and gift and goodness and mercy. The mother who treats all of her children equally loves none of them. To deal in equalities, you have to apply measurements. The way my brother and I would look across the dinner table at dessert time to see who got the bigger piece of pumpkin pie. We measured with our eyes. I think we had rulers etched in our retina. He got the bigger piece. Equality means measurement, and measurement means law. But with God, the rule is equal salvation for unequal work, yes, for no work at all. A denarius just for being there, regardless of what you did. In our parable this morning, everybody got paid equally, but there was no equality. It wasn't fair. It was just in the sense that it was justified and it was righteous because it was the vineyard owner's money to do with as he pleased. And it pleased him to give everybody the same. The ones who most lived by the law, the first hour workers who worked all day for an agreed upon denarius, got precisely what they deserved, and they were unhappy with it. They were the least joyful, the least grateful, the least aware of the vineyard owner's goodness and mercy, the most whiny, and the most complaining about fairness. And that's how it is with those who live under the law. They are bitter, they are resentful, they are always comparing, they are always measuring, they are always complaining, they are always justifying themselves by how much they've done and how little everyone else around them has done and how they deserve so much more from God than everyone else. That's a sure sign of someone living under the law. The later hour workers had no such labor agreement, but fully expected to receive only what was just, whatever that was. But the 11th hour workers had no reason to expect a dime. No wages were even promised. And now, let's take the parable up one more notch. What if the vineyard owner, after he has paid out everybody, decides to go out in the street and give everybody that he sees a denarius? Everybody, the drunks, the bums, the deadbeats, the guys sitting at the side of the road, those who haven't worked at all. Now that, my friends, would be pure 24-carat, 200-proof, unadulterated grace. I know it only comes as 190-proof. I was a chemist. But 190 ain't pure. 200 is. This is pure grace. Give to those who have done nothing and who deserve nothing. That is what God does in Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Paul said, Christ died for us. He saved the unsalvageable. While we were still ungodly, he justified us. Imagine that. Before we so much as lifted a finger to work in his kingdom, he already tucked a denarius of salvation into our pockets. Jesus labored the full 12 hours under the heat of the law's sun, and at the close of his day, as he hung dead on the cross and said, "It is finished," he put the denarius that he had earned into your account. That's not fair. That is not equal protection under the law, as we like to say. For us, it's no law at all. Christ is the end of the law to all who believe. It's what we call gospel, good news, grace, not works, gifts given and received, not wages earned. Religion is deeply offended by all this. If you tell people that this is how God works, that he's a crazy vineyard owner who pays his workers, the last workers, the very same thing as the first workers, they will throw you out of the religion club. Better still, he pays before they've even so much as worked a minute in the vineyard. The last are first, the first are last, and in the end, everybody gets the same death and resurrection. The same baptism, the same body and blood, the same forgiveness, all by grace, through faith, all for Jesus' sake, all without any merit or worthiness in us. Is that outrageous? Oh, you bet it is. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. And thanks be to God that this is so. Because if God's thoughts were like our thoughts and his ways were like our ways, none of us could be saved. It isn't fair, but it's good, and it's just, and it's righteous, and it's holy. It's God's way. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.